Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D. Today, I'll be covering the case of Rachel and Jayla Blackshear in Anchorage, Alaska. Just a warning, today's case involves the sexual assault and murder of a child. Listener discretion is advised. And with that said, let's get right to it. Nestled between the rugged Chugach Mountains and the icy waters of Cook Inlet, Anchorage, Alaska is a place of breathtaking beauty. Anchorage is the largest city in Alaska and home to nearly 40% of the state's population. A modern hub often called the gateway to the last frontier, where moose wander neighborhoods, winter darkness lingers for months, and the wilderness is never far away. The beauty of Anchorage is impossible to ignore. There's a sense of freedom that comes with living surrounded by such vast, untamed wilderness, quiet, wild, and expansive in a way few cities ever are. And maybe that's why Rachel Blackshear fell in love with the city. Rachel was raised a world away in Stockton, California, where sunshine is steady, streets stay busy, and life moves at a very different pace. Rachel's mother, Jerry White, told the Anchorage Daily News that her daughter was headstrong, funny, and that she loved to learn. She was a handful as a teenager. So when Rachel got pregnant, Jerry was a little tough on her. She just wanted to make sure she understood the challenges that came with parenthood. And she wanted to set the expectation that though she would help her daughter, Rachel would be the mom for her son. And Rachel? Well, she exceeded those expectations. Being a mom became the most important thing in her life. Shortly after her son was born, Rachel married a man in the military. He got stationed in Alaska, and she packed up her young son and set out for the last frontier. Rachel instantly fell in love with Alaska. She made friends, found work, and took advantage of everything Anchorage had to offer. She worked as a certified nursing assistant at Providence Transitional Care Center from 2014 to 2016 and left only to go to nursing school. She returned in 2019, but this time as a registered nurse. Rachel also worked night shifts at Alaska Native Medical Center. Her coworkers and patients loved her. She was bubbly and always smiling. One coworker at the medical center, Amanda Jensen, stated to Anchorage Daily News, she would take the time to connect with her patients, ask them questions, get to know them, hear about their families. She was a very caring nurse. Over the years, Rachel had three more children. Her marriage to that man in the military ended, but Rachel stayed in Alaska. Not only did she love life there, she had a career and friends. According to her family, as her first marriage began to fall apart, Rachel met a man named Jelani Blackshear. They had some sort of relationship, and he was the father of one of Rachel's children, a little girl named Jayla. Initially, things didn't work out between the two of them, and Jelani wasn't in little Jayla's life for the first 6 years. But at some point, Rachel and Jelani reunited, and eventually they got married. From the outside looking in, despite the fact that he hadn't been around, Jelani seemed to take to fatherhood naturally. And not just with Jayla. According to Rachel's family, as they spoke to Anchorage Daily News, Jelani treated all of Rachel's children as if they were his own, and he seemed to make Rachel happy. Of course, they were happy to see her happy. Rachel's mother, Jerry, said, "When we would see them together, she was legitimately happy, joking around with him and the kids, just teasing each other. I mean, it just made me feel good to see." Jelani seemed like a stand-up guy. He had a great job as a correctional officer at the Anchorage Correctional Complex. He had kids of his own from previous relationships that he spent time with, and it appeared he loved Rachel and all four of her children. The truth is, though, that you never truly know what's happening behind closed doors. From the outside, Rachel appeared happy, even to her closest friends and family. But an entirely different reality was about to come to light on a cold spring day in 2022. Okay, fellow true crime fans, let me ask you this. If a body turns up with a mysterious clue left beside it, are you calling the police or immediately starting a conspiracy board in your living room? Or both? That's the decision crime reporter Nikki Gillette faces in best-selling author Lisa Jackson's slow-burn thriller, Not What It Seems. What starts as an apparent accident in Georgia's Lowcountry quickly spirals into something much darker. One victim becomes two. Two become more, and beside every body is the same unsettling clue, a polished stone engraved with a number and a strange symbol. Nikki can't let it go, and honestly, neither would we. And I felt the same way when I picked up this book. I couldn't put it down. There were so many twists, turns, and just when I thought I got it all figured out, I was thrown for another loop. It was a perfect summer read. You feel like you're right alongside Nikki as she follows the trail through Savannah's historic streets and eerie marshes, uncovering secrets, suspects, and a killer who just might be closer than anyone realizes. If you enjoy reading authors like Paula Hawkins, Karen Slaughter, and Riley Sager, you'll love this book. Atmospheric, creepy, and packed with the kind of clues you'll be obsessing over between chapters, Not What It Seems is the latest thriller from number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. Pick up Not What It Seems wherever books are sold. According to Anchorage police, on March 30, 2022, 35-year-old Rachel Blackshear brought her 14-year-old daughter Jayla into the station to report that the little girl had been sexually abused. Jayla had told Rachel, and Rachel had immediately sought help. Jayla spoke to officials and did disclose that she had been abused, but wouldn't say who had abused her. She would only say that she had been raped that morning by a male in her household. Now, Jayla didn't come right out and say it, but police would later tell the media that the primary suspect was her father, 39-year-old Jelani Blackshear. After speaking to police, Jayla was taken to the hospital for a sexual assault exam. According to court documents, the doctor observed obvious trauma to her body. It was clear that Jayla had been violently raped. Jayla and Rachel's youngest daughter, who was 10 at the time, well, they were both interviewed at Alaska Cares, a child advocacy center that focuses on children who have experienced abuse. Jayla didn't disclose any more details. According to court documents, the 10-year-old didn't either, but the little girl made several statements that, considering the circumstances, were concerning. She told the interviewer that her dad has a sign that says family is everything, and that sign meant that no matter what, you put your family first. She went on to say that her dad says, "You need to be loyal to your family. Your best friend should be your family." The little girl did recall that Jayla was sick earlier that morning. Investigators called Jelani Blackshear and asked him to bring his sons up to Alaska Cares for interviews. He told Detective Falvo that he didn't know what was going on and that his wife wasn't talking to him, but he would have the boys there within 45 minutes. 45 minutes came and went with no sign of Jelani or the boys, so investigators called him again. This time he told them that he was not coming and that his children didn't want to come in either. After some pressure from police, Jelani agreed to have his friend bring the children. When asked why he wouldn't just bring them in himself, he stated, "I just won't. I know how these things work." There were three boys at the house that morning, two 16-year-olds and a 15-year-old. All of the boys told the interviewer that morning their mother was at work. Jelani was home with all of the kids. One of the 16-year-olds went on to say that he was pretty sure that the night before, his two sisters were in their dad's bedroom in the bed watching forensic files, and that was where they had slept. Earlier that morning, he recalled that Jayla was in the bed with Jelani watching Teen Wolf. He explained that Jayla was the last one to leave for school. She left about an hour after they did, so that would have put her alone with Jelani. He went on to say that morning while he was at school, Jayla had texted him and told him that she wasn't feeling well, And later that afternoon, Jelani messaged him and said J-Lo wasn't in school and he didn't know where she was. He denied that his father would sexually abuse his sister. But all of the children were afraid to speak to the interviewers at the advocacy center. They were scared that if they talked, they'd be placed in foster homes. As it turns out, they had good reason to believe that, since they had previously been taken out of their home and placed in emergency custody. The State Office of Children's Services had launched an investigation into the family back in 2019. That summer, police were called to the Blackshear home in Eagle River in reference to a child with a gunshot wound. When officers arrived, they found Jelani's 4-year-old daughter, one of his children from a previous relationship. They found the 4-year-old with a gunshot wound to her chest. The bullet entered her chest and exited through her back. She was taken to the hospital where she underwent emergency surgery and thankfully survived. Jelani Blackshear told police that the shooting was an accident, explaining that his 4-year-old was visiting for the summer from Oklahoma. He had worked the night shift the night previous and left the gun on the counter when he went upstairs to sleep. He woke up to the sound of a gunshot and found his daughter bleeding in the dining room. The other children told him that she must have shot herself after she saw a bear outside and tried to shoot it. He went on to explain that he normally kept around chambered because of the bears around the house, and that the older children in the house knew not to touch the gun, but since the little girl was just visiting, she didn't know about the gun's safety rules. The children were taken and placed into protective custody, and an investigation was launched. Jelani was ultimately charged with 4 counts of misdemeanor reckless endangerment. After the shooting, Rachel's mother, Jerry, flew to Alaska and stayed with the kids along with Rachel's father so the children could return home, and the investigation continued. An OCS investigator wrote in a report that she believed the kids were in danger, but not solely because they'd been given access to a gun. The OCS investigator wrote in her report that the kids were, quote, in danger and that Rachel was under Jelani's control and would not be able to make wise decisions because of that. There was also a reference to domestic violence. This investigator appeared to be the only one who felt that way at the time. Even Rachel's family believed that what had happened was an honest mistake. Though it was reckless and careless, they didn't believe there was any ill intent on Jelani's part. And it seemed officials at the Office of Children's Services, minus that one investigator, agreed. The children were ultimately allowed to return back home to Rachel and Jelani. All of the children, that was, except for Jayla. According to Jerry, as she spoke to the Anchorage Daily News, Rachel asked if Jayla could come and spend some time in California. Jayla went to California for a year with her grandmother, and they had the best time. Jayla was playful and goofy, and they just loved having her around. She told Jerry that she wanted to follow in her footsteps and become a therapist when she grew up. They got to spend that year together, and then Jayla returned to Alaska. When she returned, according to Jerry, things seemed normal. But as we know, things aren't always as they seem. Now, Rachel and Jayla were sitting in an interview room talking to officials about a violent sexual assault. Police revealed that immediately after that report was made, Jelani Blackshear called Rachel and convinced her to take Jayla back to the police station to recant her story. Rachel did take her back and attempted to have her statement recanted, but you can't unring a bell. According to a police affidavit, the following day on April 1st, investigators obtained a warrant for Jelani's DNA. Children's Services filed for emergency custody. The boys were placed in foster care immediately, but the same wasn't done for Jayla or Rachel's youngest daughter. I couldn't tell you why, and I'm not sure anyone else could either. It didn't make a lick of sense, but that's what happened. Rachel's youngest daughter went to stay with her grandparents in California. Jelani told the grandparents that Jayla had retracted her allegation and that his DNA wasn't a match. Jayla remains in Alaska with Rachel. From that day forward, no one in law enforcement saw Rachel or Jayla. Rachel never returned to work, and Jayla never returned to school. Jerry White last spoke to Rachel sometime over those first few days in April. She told her mom that she was on her way to meet with Jelani, but never said what they were meeting to discuss. After that phone call, Jerry never heard Rachel's voice again. On April 6, 2022, Jelani Blackshear resigned from his job at the Anchorage Department of Corrections. Over the next couple weeks, according to Anchorage police, text messages were sent from both Rachel and Jayla's phones. Messages from Rachel to her other children saying that mommy missed them, and one message wishing one of the kids a happy birthday. The details of the messages sent from Jayla's phone have never been made public. But there was something off about those messages. For starters, Rachel wouldn't have just wished her child a happy birthday in a text. And also the grammar. Jerry White told ABC 10 that Rachel and Jayla were both meticulous about grammar. However, the texts coming in from their phones showed absolutely no regard for anything grammatical. And further, Rachel would text, but she wouldn't answer a phone call. And that wasn't like her. The text, Rachel missing shifts at work, Jerry White started to sense that something was very wrong. And then there was a call from federal investigators. The feds were calling to ask if the Whites were hiding the girls. They said girls, meaning Rachel and Jayla, and that's when the family realized that Jayla was also missing. The Whites knew something was wrong, but at that point, police believed Rachel had fled the state with Jelani, and that Jayla was probably with them. Investigators began tracking Jelani's movements. They learned that the same day Jelani sent in his resignation letter to the Alaska DOC, he had flown out of Anchorage Airport, headed for the lower 48. Rachel and Jayla's phones were tracked to Virginia and Maryland, and according to police, it appeared that Rachel and Jayla were still communicating with friends and family via text and social media. On April 13th, DNA test results were back. According to a police affidavit, the samples taken from Jayla during that same exam matched her father, Jelani Blackshear. Charges in the sexual abuse case were filed against him in Alaska, and police ramped up the investigation. Remember, prior to that DNA coming back, the sexual assault claim was just that, an allegation. Jayla had never disclosed the name of the person that had assaulted her. He hadn't been charged yet, and investigators were unable to get in touch with Jayla or Rachel to gain any further information. But now, they had solid proof. Investigators went to the house in Anchorage, but it didn't appear anyone was home, and cell phone data was showing Jelani, Rachel, and Jayla were out of the state. 2 days later, on April 15th, Rachel failed to show up for a scheduled doctor's appointment. A family member called the Anchorage Police Department for a welfare check, and it appears this wasn't the first time the family had called, and that police had stopped by several times prior but noted nothing suspicious. But at 1:08 p.m. on April 15, 2022, Anchorage police forced entry into the home on Resurrection Drive in Northeast Anchorage. In an upstairs bedroom, officers found both 35-year-old Rachel and 14-year-old Jayla Blackshear dead from gunshot wounds to the head. It was clear that the two had been deceased for some time. At first, police released very few details. 4 days after officers made that awful discovery, on April 19th, Anchorage police told the media that a 35-year-old female and a 14-year-old female had been discovered inside the home and that Jelani Blackshear had been identified as a person of interest. They went on to say that the victims' names were not being released due to this being a domestic violence-related crime. And that was the first time it had ever been said out loud, the first time it had ever been said that Rachel and Jayla were victims of domestic violence. This shocked absolutely everyone that knew them. They always seemed so happy. How was it possible that they were victims of domestic violence? Investigators also revealed that they were looking for Jelani, and they believed he had fled the state and was armed and dangerous. But he wouldn't be armed or dangerous for long. The day after police announced they were looking for Jelani Blackshear, so that brings us to April 20th, Jelani was captured in New York State. NBC4 New York reported that Blackshear was seen being led away from a home on Herald Street in Staten Island and into a police vehicle. As it turned out, Anchorage police had traced cell phone pings to a house there. Law enforcement officers spotted him at the home, wearing the same heavy gold chain he had worn in a Facebook photo circulated by authorities. A Homeland Security agent took him into custody on federal charges of fleeing to avoid prosecution. Blackshear spontaneously confessed to Agent Alex Pina that he was wanted on charges in Anchorage, so he was taken into custody and ultimately extradited back to Alaska. Investigators pieced together digital evidence from electronic devices and physical evidence at the scene. That evidence was presented to an Anchorage grand jury in early May. Investigators believe that after Jayla told officials that she'd been sexually assaulted, Blackshear pressured Rachel to get Jayla to recant her story. The investigation into the sexual assault revealed Jelani was abusive in more ways than just one. For years, he had been abusing his family physically, mentally, and sexually. He had exerted total control over Rachel and the kids. When Jayla got the courage to break the cycle and come forward, the walls were quickly closing in. Everyone was going to learn what a monster he truly was. So he tried to get Jayla to recant the story, but recanting the story didn't work. The investigation had continued. His DNA had been taken, and it was only a matter of time before it came back as a match, and he knew that. So in the early morning hours of April 4th, Jelani entered the family home and shot his wife and daughter. He then used their devices and shared Apple iCloud to communicate with family and friends, so that no one would suspect anything was wrong. He sent those birthday messages and I miss you messages pretending to be his dead wife to her children. 2 days after he murdered Rachel and Jayla, he resigned from his position as a corrections officer, hopped a flight, and ran, all the while still keeping up their ruse with Rachel and Jayla's phones. The problem was he couldn't string together a sentence to save his life, and the family knew something was wrong. Jelani had left a trail of evidence a mile wide. All investigators had to do was follow it. So it came as no surprise that on May 5, 2022, that Anchorage grand jury indicted Blackshear on a slew of charges. 2 counts of first-degree murder, 4 counts of second-degree murder, 2 counts of first-degree sexual abuse of a minor, 2 counts of incest, 2 counts of tampering with evidence, and 1 count of first-degree forgery. And of course, he was already facing federal charges for the unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. I mean, it really wasn't looking good for Jelani Blackshear. Fortunately for him, Alaska isn't a death penalty state, because if ever there was a case, I feel like this would be it. To save everyone the trauma that comes with a trial, prosecutors alongside Rachel's family worked out a plea deal. Blackshear would plead guilty to murder in the first degree for Rachel and second degree murder for Jayla. He would be sentenced to 75 years for each murder to be served consecutively, which would total 150 years in prison. And that wasn't all. He'd also have to sign an affidavit admitting he knew he was the prime suspect in the sexual abuse of 14-year-old Jayla and that the shooting was unprovoked. In exchange, the other charges would be dropped. Jelani agreed, probably because he didn't want a rape and incest conviction on his record. I'm just guessing here, but really other than that, what did he get out of it? He's never getting out of prison, but he won't be a pedophile on paper. Anyhow, on January 27, 2026, Jelani Blackshear pled guilty to 2 counts of murder, and on June 2nd, he was officially sentenced to 150 years in prison. He's currently being held at the pretrial detention center in Palmer, Alaska, but soon enough he'll be shipped off to a correction center for the rest of ever. If I had to guess, I'd say they'd send him to Spring Creek, but I'd just be guessing. Blackshear is now and will forever be in the custody of his former employer, the Alaska Department of Corrections. His projected release date is the year 2173. I'm not even sure if I'm saying that right, but I don't think any of us will have to worry about learning how to pronounce it, and neither will Jelani Blackshear. At sentencing, Superior Court Judge Garten addressed the court and said that Blackshear had murdered his wife and daughter to cover up years of physical and sexual violence against his wife and daughters. The judge went on to say that Blackshear had terrorized his family into silence, and his control over them depended on that silence. When Jayla didn't comply, Blackshear killed her and her mother. He addressed the messages sent after the murders and said that the fact that Blackshear had pretended to be his dead wife and daughter was depraved, cruel, and calculated. Judge Garten then remanded him into the custody of the state. For years, the Blackshear family suffered in silence. No one outside of that home knew the depths of the depravity that is Jelani Blackshear. Even Rachel's closest friends and family had no idea that she was suffering from domestic violence. Rachel had so many friends. Her mother recalled to Anchorage Daily News that at her memorial service, she heard from dozens of her daughter's friends, all of them telling her that Rachel was their best friend, yet none of them knew she was being abused. The few that had suspicions that something wasn't right in the marriage had been cut out of Rachel's life by Jelani. They'd been cut out the very instant they raised any concern about her safety. Rachel had learned to hide the abuse in order to not end up completely isolated and alone, with no route for an escape. Like so many women, Rachel suffered in silence. The children suffered in silence. The fear of what would happen if they spoke up, what would happen if they tried to escape, it kept them gripped in terror. And that fear, it's very real. We've all heard it before. The most dangerous time in violent relationships is when the victim of the abuse attempts to leave or end the relationship. And the danger stretches beyond the victim to the children in the home and other family members, just as it did in this case. Rachel's family believes, of course, that the assault on Jayla was the final straw and that she was leaving Jelani for good. But he took their lives before they could walk out that door. Jelani couldn't handle not being in control anymore. He didn't want the world to know what kind of monster he truly was, so he silenced the two people who knew more than anyone exactly what he was capable of. Leaving might be the most dangerous time, but eventually that danger does end. Staying in an abusive relationship is a never-ending cycle of violence, danger, and abuse. That cycle doesn't end until it's broken. Unfortunately, Rachel and Jayla's story isn't rare. So many women and men suffer silently, trapped in abusive relationships. And it isn't always black eyes and bruises. Oftentimes, it's not as obvious as you might think. According to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, over 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men in the U.S. have experienced rape, physical violence, and/or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime. If you are experiencing domestic violence, please know that you're not alone. After losing Rachel and Jayla, Rachel's mom, Jerry, urges those suffering to reach out for help. She hopes that others see what happened to Rachel and take it as a sign to leave for their children, their parents, and themselves. Jerry stated to Anchorage Daily News, "If you're that person that's in a situation and you think that it'll get better or things will change or you could just write it out, I'm standing here to tell you, don't think that it can't happen. If you know someone or you are someone, it ends today. It has to end today." 35-year-old Rachel Blackshear was a nurse who loved her patients, a woman who loved Alaska and was learning to snowboard, a mother who loved her 4 children, and according to those that knew her, would eat lunch at school with her kids to keep the bullies away, a mother who in the end tried to leave an abusive relationship to protect her children. 14-year-old Jayla attended Buggage Middle School. She was a bright student who was looking forward to high school. Jayla was a fun and outgoing person remembered for her infectious smile, a smile she tried to pass along to everyone she came into contact with. Jayla took part in a club at school dedicated to making sure no one felt lonely. She ran track and was remarkably fast. After her death, 2 of her friends, 14-year-old twin sisters Jalissa and Janice, put together a memorial service at the middle school. The 2 girls wanted not only to honor Jayla, but to raise awareness about domestic violence. Jalissa said, "Jayla, what happened to her was unfair, and I want people to know that domestic violence should be stopped." If you or someone you love is suffering from domestic violence, there is a way out. That cycle can be broken, and you could be the one to break it. There are resources available to get you started on your path to freedom. In the U.S., you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-800-799-SAFE or visit thehotline.org. I'll be sure to drop resources in the show notes. Please hear me when I say you deserve to be free. And that, my friends, is all I've got for this week. Be sure to join me next Thursday for an all-new episode. In the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at @least_of_these or my Facebook at Least of These Podcast. And if you're sick of ad interruptions, I've got good news for you. You can get all your episodes ad-free, just the way you like them, for just $2 a month. And as a member of Patreon, you'll be the first to be notified when new tiers will launch with exclusive episodes and a few bonus surprises. Head on over to patreon.com/leastofthese to support the show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other. Man, y'all, I am losing my voice quickly. In case you didn't notice, I have a cold. But, you know, the show must go on. And I'm not missing this hot take. This is such an absolutely devastating story. So many lives were impacted at the hands of just one monster. The ripple effect stretches beyond what probably any of us can comprehend. Jayla was such a bright little soul. Looking at the photos of her and Rachel, it's like the light just radiates from within both of them. It's hard to fathom that they were suffering through so much. It's just another prime example of you really don't know what a person is going through. From the lady who makes your coffee at the Starbucks to your very best friend, you just never really know. There was just so much promise ripped away in an instant. As far as Jelani goes, he's as evil as they come. And in my opinion, the only reason he took that plea deal is because he knows how pedophiles are treated in prison. I mean, he does know better than anyone because he was a damn corrections officer. Which, former corrections officer plus pedophile? I don't really think you can put a larger target on your back. If he took that little plea deal to save himself the embarrassment of being put in the pedo pod, now he's just a pedophile out there in general population. Unless they put him in protective custody. I'm really not sure because he's still in pretrial detention at the moment. They're probably working on sending him wherever he's going to wind up as we speak. But if they put his ass in general pop, he's going to have a rough time, and it couldn't be more deserved. This is the part that's hard to talk about. The sexual assault on Jayla was so very violent. There weren't many details in the court records. Much of it was redacted, and that's good because we've really got to consider Jayla. But in two sentences, there was enough to tell you that her assault had been violent. And it sure ain't very nice of me to hope that Jelani has to feel 1 ounce of the pain and horror he inflicted on his daughter in prison. But I do hope he does. I hope more than anything that old Bubba gets a hold of him. Listen, don't get mad. I already said it wasn't right, but I ain't never told y'all a lie, and that's how I feel about it. You know, you reap what you sow. And I just hope that's especially true for Jelani. Prisoners are nosy. They're going to figure out what he did. Somebody's going to come through there that knows if they haven't already. And then the whole damn cell block is going to know, and I really hope they do. The betrayal of being assaulted by your father, your biological father. This wasn't her stepdad, mom's boyfriend, uncle, which is all bad enough. But her dad, the one who was supposed to protect her above anyone. I just don't think there are words for that kind of betrayal. The betrayal, the violence of it all, she was just 14, just a baby. She deserves so much better. And Jelani Blackshear deserves whatever the boys on the block have in store for him. And that's about all I got to say about that. I'm gonna go find a cough drop. Y'all know I love you more than my luggage, and I can't wait to talk at you next week. But until then, bye, boo thing!